Welcome everyone to More Than Meets These Guys, and please join these two American Transformers fans going through the UK books from the beginning. We will look at all aspects of the UK comics from cover to cover and deep dive into some aspects that many of us have taken for granted. Boo and I have known each other for over 25 years and have crazy amounts of useless knowledge to share. So thank you for being here. And I felt this part of the show needed its own intro. So here we are.
Here we are.
I totally wasn't reading that off my monitor while I was talking to you about it. Dropping all my stuff on the desk.
Got a mind like a steel trap. Just
no,
right off the top of your head.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll call that. Well, we are getting into like a neat aspect of the UK comics, where the American comics, you know, are used in the UK comics and split up, and also a whole new team. So that's kind of neat. I was also we were talking about before the recording. What was behind me now? Picked up the Amazon exclusive of the double. It's all the music from the show, which is really much better than I was anticipating. They did a really good job cleaning up the audio. And I wanted the vinyl special editions, but you can listen to it on Spotify or probably Pandora, or you can get it on Apple Music, whatever you want to do. Really nice. Really cool hearing all those original soundtrack, the background music we take for granted. Really done nicely.
They said they added a couple of tracks since the last release. Which ones did they add? Does it tell you?
Here he goes. Transformers theme tuned 40th anniversary remix, which is okay. It's, you know, nothing crazy. It kind of gives a different like remix on the original the opening theme and stuff.
I was kind of hoping it was the instrumental Cold Slither.
That would be money well spent by me. That
right.
But yeah, it was a really cool. I like to see these 40th anniversary things coming out. It's really nice to have a constant stream of new interesting things coming out.
Man, it's so much.
yeah, I know, too much.
I'm surprised the Power of the Primes, Optimus Prime, is popping up at Targets again, like everywhere.
Up. What's going on with that? We will have possibly three different Optimus Prime, mainline Optimus Primes, out at the same time. The Power of the Primes. What was the smaller like studio series? Oh, it's like a legacy original G1 Prime,
and yeah, the studio series the deluxe one. Yeah,
yeah, like three different primes out. Like,
well, and then we've got the Transformers One Orion Pax.
Yeah, we do. Which, who knows? There'll probably be like five or six different versions of that, because you know how they like to do that.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah,
so I wonder what else they're going to sneak out on us. Like, are we going to get other like old Optimus Primes that are in the original packages? Like, they didn't even like slap a 40th thing on the Power of the Primes. It's just like,
no, it just showed
same
up.
Same release. Well, yeah.
You've already seen the pictures of the 40th anniversary, like anime or the animation style coloring Optimus
mm-hmm.
Prime.
Yeah.
Instead of having the chrome, you know, bumper, it's going to have a white bumper, the yellow lights and stuff. So it's going to look very much the original Optimus Prime colored like the animation.
Yeah, it's a Walmart exclusive, right?
Yeah. Just like they did with the Rodimus, and they did with Thundercracker and
Starscream, and then Decepticons and all that. Yeah.
Hound. So yeah, that's gonna be the next one. That'll be one I definitely want to pick up, just because I wasn't sold on it until I saw it. I'm going, man, you know, that's really good. So I'm gonna end up with like 50 different versions of Optimus Prime at one point. So I've
got
to have.
If you only had 50, that means you didn't really try.
I'm looking over it, like five of them right there.
Yeah, there's so many Optimus Primes out
Six,
there. It's crazy.
Seven, eight.
Yeah,
just within my vision here.
One but, for each time he came back from the dead.
that's at least 50 times. Yeah. So yeah, it's a kind of a cool time to be it'd be a really cool time to be a Transformers fan with a lot of money.
Yes.
But it's a really cool time to be a fan anyways. And we kind of have a neat part where we go back into the UK book, and it's one of my favorite covers. It's so funny because it is, I think, most people's favorite beautiful cover.
This is easily the most iconic cover.
Yeah, with Shockwave. The Transformers are all dead. The front. You notice the I don't know if you saw this on you had this in your version, but the Autobot symbol on the bottom has a stripe through it, says non-functional.
Non-functional, yeah,
Yeah,
they're done.
it's just
So
nice.
this image was done by MD Bright, or Mike Bright, who just passed away March 27th of this year.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah.
What else did he do?
He provided art for a lot of major titles for DC, Marvel, Acclaim, Dark Horse, Milestone, Paradox Press, and IDW.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He started in comics illustrating the Falcon miniseries.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And he started at issue number two under Jim Owsley, who, you know, is the new editor of the American side of the comics in here.
Nice.
So he worked on Action Comics, Batman, Green Lantern, G.I. Joe, Iron Man, Captain America, and then he and Jim Owsley started what Quantum and Woody, among many other titles.
Quantum and Woody.
Yeah, it was a little pet project they did on the side.
Okay.
But he also illustrated IDW's Spotlight Nightbeat, which Simon Furman wrote.
Oh, really? I do like the cover. That was really nice.
Yeah, that was him.
Nice.
And then Jim Owsley, who now goes by the name Christopher Priest, said of Bright, he says, "When I was an editor at Marvel Comics, I hired Doc," which MD, they nicknamed him Doc for that. He says, "I hired Doc to paint the cover of Transformers number 5, which depicted a lifelike image of the villainous Shockwave beneath the Transformers logo. The words 'Are all dead' burned into the wall behind him. The cover was rejected by Hasbro, the Transformers licensor, because, and yes, some corporate types are really just this stupid. They feared kids would stop buying Transformers toys because they'd believe they were all dead. They also thought Doc's cover was too scary." He said, "I can't swear to it, but I'm pretty sure I called my guy at Hasbro and openly mocked him for being an idiot. It's the best cover we've ever done, and I told him, and yes, it was."
Yeah,
And
100%
oh,
out of
look,
that.
there's more.
Oh God, please, by all
He says,
means.
"This is now a legendary piece of art, reprinted and imitated many times. I don't know if Doc still has the original art, but if so, I hope he knows how valuable it is. And I'll take my bow for the cover sketch, borrowed from Michael Kaluta's awesome The Prince is Dead cover from Conan the King number 20,
Oh,
which
wow.
I'd previously commissioned." And that's from his book Clang, The Writer's Commentary by Christopher James Priest.
What a cool piece of trivia.
Yeah. So there's that. And this is also the first issue with Bob Budiansky as the writer.
Oh, okay. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense when we get into the innards of the book.
Yeah, he was the editor on the miniseries, and he took over as a writer when it became a regular series, which was starting with this issue in the
Okay.
US.
That makes a lot of
And
sense. Yeah.
now I mean, there's a lot of I guess staff changing here. So getting into Jim Owsley, okay? So Jim Owsley takes over the US Transformers editor for a few issues. Okay? He was the first African American editor in mainstream comics.
Interesting.
Like, period. Yeah. He started working on Crazy magazine, which is Marvel's answer to like Mad and Cracked. And then he went on to the Conan titles with Larry Hama. And then he wrote Falcon's miniseries, which we just mentioned before, as well as 14 issues of Power Man and Iron Fist.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he wrote and edited many comics over years for Marvel, DC, and various independent publishers like Valiant and Dynamite, including Deadpool, Black Panther, Steel, and Deathstroke. But I mean, he has like a comics resume like a mile long.
That's
Okay,
Jim
he
Halsey.
also, yeah, Owsley, yeah. He also created the character Static for DC, you know, Static
Oh,
Shock. Yeah, he
yeah.
created him. And then he co-created Quantum and Woody with MD Bright, and he also co-created Zero with an X and The Crew.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. And then for reasons no one's quite sure of, in the 90s, he changed his name to Christopher James Priest, which is what he goes by today, and sometimes he just goes by priest. But it's possibly related to the fact that he's now an ordained Baptist minister.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a lot of really interesting staff changing okay. the guard, I guess.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of changing, man, getting into the first page of this book, they have fully embraced Transformers finally.
Yes, Openers is now gone.
Yeah.
Which they just changed it, what, last issue?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And now it's completely gone, replaced with Transformation.
Yeah. Yep. The big Transformers logo up the side of it. And I mean, they've fully, which is good because I don't know if at this point they were really getting how big of a thing Transformers was.
Yeah.
I like to think they did at this point because you're talking, this is, by the way, I know it's because, you know, I'm American, obviously you are too. I never caught this on the cover. Because a lot of times the old comics will say, you know, monthly or whatever, they say fortnightly.
Yes.
Fortnight being, for people who don't know, is 2 weeks. So It's kind of neat seeing that. This is from July 13th to 26th, 1985.
And, you know, that keeps you from getting confused with bi-weekly, which some people go, is that twice a week or is that every 2 weeks? Which,
yeah,
fortnightly, exactly. It's locked in. There's no confusion.
Every 2 weeks, man. So yeah. They give us a nice little teaser here with the Dinobots.
Yeah. Well, they're getting everybody like caught back up on like everything that went on in the miniseries.
Yeah.
And then since.
Yeah, they're trying to get everything, everyone like on the same page, which is what they do with this this section they have, Robot War.
Oh, yeah. That is a really good recap of all the issues from 1 to 21.
Yeah.
And then they lay out the order of the story. So you get to find out, where does Man of Iron fit in? Where is, you know, the Enemy Within, all that. It shows you where that actually plugs into the story.
And they have these beautiful, drawings, the art of, basically Cybertron with the dome and the Tetrajets attacking, and all that stuff is really cool. They really, you know, go full on and make you, you know, immerse you into the story really well.
So, more of that rich line art.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It looks, it looks like what you would think Cybertron should look like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no way to put it. The top picture on the Robot War section definitely looks like, you know, right out of the original miniseries on by Sunbow.
Oh yeah, with the Dome City and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really nice. They did a great job trying to get everyone caught up. So, you know, honestly, I feel like they did more with this than the American people have done with the American comic.
I mean, it looks like they even worked in the Tetrajets into that picture.
They did. Oh, yeah. That picture, they did. Yeah, totally. So they went through and made sure that it connected. So everyone who was watching the cartoon would feel at home with this.
Yeah, they wanted to pull them in.
Yeah, exactly. So, like going through everything, you know.
We even got Spider-Man again.
They do. But, after all that's all said and done, we get into the issue, which this always cracks me up. I always forget about this.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out with Mark Singer.
Yeah, because in the American comic, it started out with the Honeymooners.
That's right,
Ralph Cramden. Yeah.
That's right, it did.
And so they switched it out for the UK with a promo picture from V. You got the visitor's face ripped off.
Yeah. I love that. The Mark Singer and his feathered hair.
Right.
You have uncovered my secret now. You must die. Which cracks me up because it makes me think of Cobra Commander.
He should have used his Beastmaster powers to control him. He's a lizard.
There you go. But this is great little meta speech bubble. Like, we've been invaded by aliens. And of course, yeah. But there's a Shockwave is watching like what, four, five, six different TV screens. Like, let's make a deals on one, the soap opera on another, a news report from a very particular oil platform is on another.
Well, you know, that's a lot of screens to watch simultaneously when you only have one eye. That's talent.
He's logically doing it a little at a time. spend a little time
Right.
here.
He's got some processing power there.
Well, he's had a lot of time to work on it.
Right.
And then like to go back and man, you told me like you told me last episode we did of this, you weren't gonna spoil it for me about the coloring and stuff. I thought, well, maybe they took the line art and they had someone else do the coloring. No.
The next page, you see it.
Nail Yamtov. I was really impressed. Like, oh man, this is great. And I saw him like, oh wait. Oh man. And here we are with Yamtov. He's back. So we get a double dose of Yamtov this episode because we also have Machine Man.
Yeah, there's no escaping it.
Yeah. The you have Shockwave's watching like football and some other shows at the same time. But there is this whole this news reporter. What is her name? It's oh gosh, Charlene.
Yeah,
She's over
Charlene.
there. She's got that gem eyeshadow on and stuff. But yeah, basically she's interviewing GB BlackRock. Now there's a name we will hear a lot about in the American issues. It's
That the
almost
company that's like buying up all the stock and all the other companies now?
I mean, may as well
BlackRock.
be. May as well be.
He's real.
Yeah,
Real
so
world factors.
real world factors creeping into the issue. God, 40 years old. It's prophetic.
They called it.
But so, GB BlackRock's like talking about how they've done all this great stuff with this oil platform. They can do everything but pump the petrol right into your tank. But then he introduces the real brains behind the whole operation. This doe-eyed young woman named Josie Beller.
Oh yeah, she's fresh out of high school.
Yeah, which is funny, right? Here she has red hair. So,
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a strawberry blonde, I guess.
spoiler, she gets a real blonde later. But,
Yeah. With
old Josie.
the rat tail.
Yeah. But yeah, they've been going through and watching this whole thing, and Shockwave just gets up. He's like, "Man, these people are primitive. Why haven't we taken over this planet by now?
He's
What?"
like, man, these guys are dumb.
Yeah.
He doesn't think much of us.
No. Well, I mean, if you're just watching what he's just watching, I can't really blame him. But
Right?
then we go through one of the most famous early comic two-page spreads. All the Autobots. I mean, there's let's see who we have: Windcharger, Huffer, Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, Wheeljack, Gears, Sideswipe, Hound, Ironhide, Prowl, Bluestreak, Trailbreaker, and Jazz, all hanging upside down like meat.
Yep.
I
Yeah,
don't
the
think I
up.
missed it. Did I miss anyone there? I don't think so.
No. And
Well,
well, there's five that aren't there.
yeah.
Sunstreaker, Mirage, Brawn, Optimus Prime, and Ratchet.
Yeah. Okay. So you get
And
this. Ironhide.
we'll see as
Well.
that goes. Yeah.
Well, Yamtov, I mean, I had to actually sit there and look really closely, like, okay, well, Huffer's paint are colored correctly. Gears is pretty close.
Yeah, you can't go by the colors on here because like Bumblebee
No.
has Sideswipe's colors.
Yeah. And
Cliffjumper has Bumblebee's.
yes, I had a double look at that. Is that Cliffjumper? That's definitely Bumblebee's face. Okay. And then
Yeah.
Wheeljack is just like blue.
Yeah, he's just blue.
He's like.
Windcharger is colored like Brawn.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Ironhide is colored like Gears, actually.
Yeah, he's got a blue chest.
Yeah.
And then Trailbreaker has a red chest, and his hood is drawn like a broken windshield.
Yeah, it is. Now, Hound is actually done correctly. I think Sideswipe's pretty much correct.
Yeah, those are all right.
And Jazz is almost his head's.
Jazz is a ginger.
He is now,
He's
yes.
got like red alert colors or something.
He kind of does. Oh yeah, and
Yeah.
Ironhide's arm is missing also, which is kind of neat. Well,
Yeah. And
actually,
then
most of
if
his
you look,
body's missing.
Bluestreak has a red hood, as does Prowl.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The only way I could tell it was Bluestreak and not Prowl was that yeah, the gunner, yeah, the gun's on his shoulders.
Yeah.
But they're looking kind of rough. Now, one thing I was talking to our friend of the show, Reverend Ruin, who does he's in the business. It was actually kind of interesting that this is all the art in this was done by Alan Kupperberg.
Yes.
Now, usually in the 80s, Marvel would not let you do All the art. You wouldn't, they would let you do the pencils, and they would have someone else do the inks. This one, Alan Kupperberg, did pencils and inks. And I looked at some of his other art. I mean, he's done like really nice work. Excuse me. He's done work on like he had the Howard the Duck and Spider-Man. He did oh God, what was the one I was just looking at? There were some bizarre ones he did. Okay, I'm gonna have to close this down so I can look at it real quick. It is fine. Okay, yeah, he did some really nicely detailed. There it is. Obnoxio the Clown. Stanley Presents. And you know, it sounds really dumb and everything like, but the line art and the detail is pretty exquisite. It's, you know, kind of goofy looking art and everything, but it's really he did a nice job in this stuff. So we see he can do the art. This was probably something he was said, you gotta pump out a few issues of this. We need help on this. So we went in there and he drew. And this is pretty rough. I won't lie.
Yeah. Which I believe he just did the next, I guess, 4 issues of the UK, which two
Well, the
issues in the
American.
US.
Yeah. I did the he did, yes. 4 issues of the UK, 2 issues of the US, yes. Sorry. That took me
Yeah.
a second to realize what you're saying. And it's just the proportions are all off. Actually, Shockwave doesn't look bad. His proportions aren't horrible. And Ravage is okay, but the rest of them are kind of terrible looking.
It looks like he was leaning heavy into like the box art.
It did, and they also he looks like he took a little bit of the, I don't know, maybe box art, maybe because the Starscream, who also is colored pretty wrong, thanks Yom Tov. He's got huge boots
He's got
as
his
that's
hip
been correct.
waders on.
He does. Ravage looks pretty good. I mean, it's hard to mess up Ravage. He's a pouncing, you know, he's a pouncing panther, I guess. He's a panther, right?
Jaguar.
Jaguar. That makes sense because he is Jaguar in Japan. Anyways, yeah. So once again, though, Shockwave, he looks
I'm just
good.
looking at Starscream. I'm sorry. And I mean, he's got full on Urkel going with like the his belt is up to his
Oh
nipples.
God, yeah, it is. Like his belt comes up, you know, here. It's
Yeah.
all waist. He's like he's pulled his pants all the way up. He's got like this much room before his head. It's terrible. And he's doing this weird like pose.
Yeah, they're flexing, even though they're supposed to be
Yeah.
like on life support.
Thundercracker's like this, you know. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're flexing. It's weird posing and like
Well, it's almost like they're mirrored.
it kind of is actually. And it probably was
Yeah.
that. He probably just used it as a way to do the other one. But they're in like a rehabilitation chamber, like being like, you know, rebuilt or repowered and stuff.
They're
And
getting their fluids changed.
yeah. And it's only Starscream, Thundercracker, Ravage, Laserbeak, and Buzzsaw.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's well, we do know what's going on with one other person.
Well, see,
Well,
those are all the ones that were poisoned.
that's right. Okay. See, it's been a while since we went through that those original issues.
Right.
Good catch. But
Oh, no problem.
then there's Megatron, which we see the back of. We see that black, you know, helmet for his head. And Shockwave was bringing him just enough online to I don't know, gloat for a while
Yeah, to
and
wake him
tell
up.
yeah, tell him how bad he is. But that's the end of that right there. This is the first part of the issue, which thank God for that, and thank God there's a second part to this. This is kind of what we were getting before in the last Raiders of the Last Ark series or
Yeah.
arc. But we have what is now called Sound Waves, which is kind of cool. They basically make Soundwave the mascot for the letters column.
Yep, he answers the letters from the fans.
Yeah, which is cool. There's nothing really crazy with this. They're you know, guy people talking about the different stuff in the issues. And there's except there's this one PS from Richard Hunt. I hope Ravage splatters Starscream into itsy bitsy chippy ch chippy cogs and nuts. And
Yeah.
anyways.
Well, and both Richard and Ryan, who wrote the other letter in there, they both described the comic as Brill.
Which I'm guessing that's a good thing.
It's short for brilliant, I believe.
Oh, you're actually right. It is short for brilliant. I remember seeing some of that, and I think in an earlier Doctor Who.
Yeah. Well, and they've described it as Brill in earlier letter columns, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But Ryan, I guess, is that Gogarty? I
Gogarty?
guess I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that.
Gogarty?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gogarty. He wants to get rid of Robot Roundup, Robo Capers, Fact Files, and Machine Man. He thinks they're wasting valuable space that could be for Transformers, and he wants more information directly from Hasbro in the book.
Ryan, you're the MVP of this episode.
Right. Well, one's already gone. Fact Files is gone.
Yeah.
So, he's a quarter of the way there.
Ryan was also prophetic here. Unfortunately, not totally because Machine Man's still there, but I actually kind of don't mind it now because we'll get to that later. But
Yeah.
I like Richard is asking about like different, characters, what different toys are gonna make it in there, like the Insecticons, Dinobots, Jumpstarters. And the response is talking about the new Transformers. You mentioned the Dinobots will make an appearance in upcoming issues. Insecticons in this year's Transformers annual. As yet, there are no plans to feature the Jumpstarters, but keep watching, which we both know they become part of the record, so they do show up. Just a little early for that because Simon Furman hasn't become part of this yet,
Yeah.
full time or anything. So,
He had to flesh out to see what was Budiansky going to use and who was going to be set aside that he could just go to town with.
and as you helped me realize, and I don't like to say I'm wrong very much, but you say that some I was wrong. They actually had planned to use the jump starters in the Sunbow show. They just never made it. So if you look in the Transformers universe comics with Top Spin and Twin Twist, the image they have in there is a is it, it's comic coloring, but it is the animation models they would have had in the show.
Yeah, they process the animation models as comic art.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
they didn't ever get that far. Obviously, also Ironhide's the same way in there. Ironhide and Ratchet because. Their images are the animation models because they actually have head and everything.
Well,
So,
the jump starters never even got used as like animation in the commercials either. Like
no.
that was it. I mean,
Yeah. It was just, I guess there was a thing where I kind of wonder if there was if they had some kind of plan for it, it just kind of fell through. Maybe they just weren't as excited about the final products or something.
yeah, I'm not sure because I mean they were Takara products, so it's not
Yeah.
like the ones that were licensed for other companies. So
Salt Man Z.
yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happened there.
Okay, well, we'll see what coming up here. I'm sure they might make an appearance.
Oh yeah, well they
Second,
will
yeah,
in
I know.
UK. This is like the only place they really make an appearance.
Yeah. Pretty big appearance too. And the stock exchange actually works out pretty well. This dude wants Jazz with all the weapons and Soundwave with all the weapons.
He'll trade you Soundwave with all that's a pretty good swap.
Yeah, it's not a bad swap at all. You
Yeah.
notice he didn't say all the tapes. Weapons
Yeah.
just like follow he's keeping Buzzsaw, man. And so yeah, Robocapers this time maybe kind of look at something. It's three panel thing. A King No Nose is equips his Doom robots with the ultimate weapon, which is a 24-hour video of Crossroads. And I know you looked at this a bit too.
Yes.
So I want to
Oh,
see
I
what you
had to
thought on
find
that.
out about Crossroads.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I've got a quote, but I'll let you go ahead with this.
Okay, well, it turns out Crossroads was a much reviled British soap opera that ran from 1964 to 1988.
Yep.
And it was revived in 2001, only to be finally canceled for good in 2003. But it had very low production values, ridiculous plots, and very poor dialogue. And it was like panned by critics. And I mean, viewers, like everybody liked to make fun of it, but it was pulling in like a lot of viewers anyway, which was, odd. So the Guinness Book of Classic British TV says about it, Crossroads was a series that no one seemed to love. Yet at its peak, it was watched by more viewers than any other soap opera except Coronation Street.
So everyone made fun of it, but it was still one of the best ones that one of the
yeah,
most watched
it was
ones.
extremely popular for some reason, but it was really bad. So
I've got a quote here. It's just a quick blurb about it. It is set in a fictional hotel in the revival in the Midlands. Crossroads became a byword for low production values, particularly in the 1970s and early 1980s. So basically, if people were talking about, like, man, that thing's got bad production value, they would say it's got Crossroads production.
Right.
So, and that's how bad it was, but it was so popular. It went on for a lot of years, man.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, the quote that's coming out of the TV where it's like, "Where's me hat, Miss Diane?" refers to a character on her named Benny Hawkins, who was a special needs handyman who wore a woolly hat and had an unrequited crush on a character he called Miss Diane.
That's awesome.
So that's like his catchphrase or something, I guess. But
nice. Well, I'm sure it was someone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's funny. But so that was one of those funny things that we just like put in there.
Those were Meemaw stories is what they were.
Oh man. Ed, you're missing out because these are some British stories. We like to joke. My wife loves watching soap operas. So but as actually a lot of people I know do like begrudgingly admit they like soap operas. So we kind of just joke that she's got to watch her stories. But that was kind of how it was, people treat it like that.
They still have soap operas on TV now?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yes. Look at the Peacock app. How many, they've got soap operas. Like, you can watch that soap operas on Pluto TV 24/7 if you want.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I didn't know if they were still making new ones, like if Days of Our Lives is still on or Young and the Restless or any of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the characters. There's one of the older people who has been in there for years just passed away recently because I heard about this because my wife being a fan. But they're still doing it. I don't know how much they are and how much the production is working now, but I think now it's more seen as like a streaming, thing.
Yeah. Well, because, back like in the 70s and 80s, it was like that was daytime TV. It was soaps until like the afternoon cartoons came on.
Yeah. Whenever. Yeah. Sorry.
And then they replaced it all with like talk shows and stuff. It seemed like for the most part.
They did. When I was younger and I would be sick for school. Not really. I basically like my parents knew I was faking. I didn't want to go to school. So they would give me a lot of chores to do. So I basically do all the laundry in the house. And in doing that, you watch daytime TV and you either watched game shows or you watched soap operas or whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, it would bleed straight from like your game shows into soap operas and then into like if there was an afternoon movie or
Donahue.
Cartoons. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Donahue.
Donahue, man. So, that's just how it was. So, yeah, nowadays, I'm guessing it's still, producing, income because it's still going on. I like I said, I don't follow it myself. There was a summer I really got into Days of Our Lives when I was younger.
But, oh yeah, well, my mom and my sister used to watch them like incessantly. So
yeah,
yeah.
You start watching and something hooks you because Days of Our Lives got really weird, like alien stuff. So it got me right in, man. I was there.
Well, but, I mean, and then you get into the primetime stuff like Dallas, which is one of Ed's favorites.
Yep. Well, J.R. Ewing himself. And they really are. I mean, really, and you think about things like Twin Peaks, which is has a huge following. That's essentially a soap opera in prime time.
Oh yeah. And well, I think Tyler Perry's doing a lot of them right now too.
Oh yeah.
He's got like several irons in the fire doing like soaps in prime time.
I mean, now at this point, those prime time soap operas have just become like shows like House or Grey's Anatomy. Those are essentially soap operas just shot with a different lens, like
oh yeah, they raise the bar a little bit.
Yeah,
and
so
they're not daily. They're they
no.
Yeah, they do like regular seasons. Whereas, it's like breakneck with like the old school soaps where it's like you're doing shows like daily.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Dark Shadows.
Oh yeah,
And
that was
Dark
a
Shadows
fun one.
was funny because their production value was very questionable also, but some of the things seemed great in there, but there were so many bloopers of people running through sets because they're trying to get over to the next set behind another one, and you see them running past a window and stuff. That kind of stuff just happened. It was like
Well, and it
very
was hokey horror, so yeah.
And it was like guerrilla TV. You're just trying to figure out a way to make this work in the next scene. And, like I got to do really some makeup like the guy is really messed up. So you just take latex and just kind of swish it around your face and put makeup over it. It was
Right.
just that kind of stuff. That's what they did. It was just kind of fun that way. Oh God. Yeah. And there was a, there's a whole part of the show where there was a woman who, Oh, a woman, a main, one of the main actors of the show, actresses, she had to pretend she was a gypsy. I'm sorry for people who don't like the word. I'm using it because that's what it was in the show. And it was basically a very, I've been canceled, a very, 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 very pale woman with bronzer on head to toe. And she would, they would talk, her contact was one of the other characters with a lot of bronzer on. And they would talk like they were in a mob movie, like it was Count Potofi. It's just stupid. It's so good. It's funny. But there's a lot of that. That's
They're
way off.
like got the New Jersey thing instead of
They
Romani.
were
Yeah.
like New Jersey Romani in Maine.
Forget about
kind of
it.
close to that, really not too bad. Yeah, my ex-wife loves it. I had a lot of fun watching that. So back onto the issue, because the best part of
Yeah.
the issue is coming up right now. It's Planet Terry.
Of course. This is
Yeah,
what we're really here for.
but this is great because we get finally get a good payoff. Robata's got her cosmic rust because they're in a bubble, which, okay, I gotta ask this. Why in the world is she having rust in this bubble?
Because Vermin the Vile said so.
Okay, well then that makes sense then.
Yeah.
So they do the thing where they roll the bubble off a cliff and it pops.
Yeah.
So okay, whatever.
And
That it's
this is like an Adam West Batman solution for a trap.
oh, it really is. It's very was the this was it the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie where they're in this big hanging like round ball things like of vines and stuff.
Oh yeah, that
And
and was it the water mill or whatever they're running in, and
oh
yeah.
okay, anyways, so they break the bubble, they're all free, and then luckily they happen to be in a rocket graveyard.
Oh yeah, lots of grease and oil, so
They oil Robata up
yeah.
like head to toe. I don't know if I should see the scene.
She goes totally Tin Man on us.
She does.
Oil can.
There's and then the Mayhem Maker is acting up, so I'll have to call her Repairman. That is Vermin the Vile.
Yeah.
And so soon, like, Planetary's like, how do you feel, Robotic? She's like, fine, but ugly. Okay, cool. Anyways, that reminds them that they gotta go find Princess Shudder Ugly. And onto the Domed City. This so much happens really fast. They don't even worry about how they get into the castle, which
Yeah.
is amazing. Yeah, you got Vermin the Vile. He's throwing a fit in his like pajama robes, while Mayhem Maker Repairs Inc. is got a guy working on his Mayhem Maker machine.
I almost wonder if that's like a Maytag joke there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, then. The guard down in the dungeon is just he's complaining that he's had to go into the guard business.
He's tired of hearing her snore.
Yeah, well, there's good the solution to this.
Yeah.
Terry comes around the corner and says, "Hey, open the princess's cell, turnkey." He's like, "Why?" So I can awaken her, restore her to her throne, the people who yearn for her. It's like that's not a good enough reason. So Omnus comes around like, "Oh, I'll open the cell or I'll squash you like a bug." All right, the behind cone gets it done.
Yeah, I mean, just threats of violence,
Yeah.
altruistic, goals, nope, mean nothing to him, but hey, pain and suffering, he can
Yeah.
relate.
Well, if you're a giant pinecone's gonna like squash you, I'm dude, pinecones are sharp.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna have that happen. And so they go in, they see Princess Ugly. And what's going on with her?
I called it.
Oh yeah. I kind of figure this is coming too because they kept mentioning it so much. She reminds me of the nurse from Animaniacs. Some
Oh
buxom
yeah.
blonde,
She's the hello nurse.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out a way to awaken her because she deafens the ears. So what does Terry looking like a 60-year-old man in a child's body do? Oh, I've seen this movie. I'll give her a kiss. And she slaps him.
Consent, Terry.
Yeah.
Consent.
Well, I mean, it's not okay. She's sleeping. She can't say no. Terry, they didn't teach you consent in your little ship that taught you everything else.
He's from the Louis C.K. school. Consent.
I'm gonna kiss you now. If you so don't want this, just tell me. Oh, I
Yeah.
can't hear you. Anyway. Real world factors.
Right.
So the guard is all happy, the evil spirit is broken, the princess is awake, and down with Vermin the Vile, along the princess. I don't know where Vermin the Vile goes. He's just not there anymore.
Yeah, I think we have some more story to wrap
Oh,
up.
okay, that would make
Yeah.
sense. So they finally ask, like, why is this the Dome City where there's no dome? And it's like, because it's written in the book, and the princess, she's like, wait, no, that's not true. The evil spell, the broken mayhem maker, they all shall go berserk. It's not the Dome City, it's the Doomed City. So
Here
yeah,
comes a punchline.
close enough.
Everyone yells close enough.
And they run because
Which is kind of funny because there's a book, it's a Doomsday book, but it's spelled Domesday.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a real book. And
It's a real book. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you
it's
read
a
this in the.
real world factor. Yeah, but I mean, it's spelled
It's nice.
Domesday, but it's the Doomsday book.
Nice. Well,
Yeah,
cool.
it's like an ancient tome. So there's a
So
little bit of that working on that there, the little switch on the name.
nice.
Yeah.
We get back, and now we return the Transformers.
Yeah,
And
we need the bumpers.
I got it, man. Don't worry.
Right?
I get it. It's definitely, I got it already on the audio, and I'm putting it on the video as I do it.
Nice.
Everything, video and audio. So I go to the finally the title of this, The New Order. I mean, really, thinking about this, what we've seen so far in the comic really is only like maybe 4 pages in.
Yeah.
So this is where we have the artists and the scripter and all that sort of Bob Budiansky's script, Alan Kupperberg doing the art. Now it doesn't say pencils, it doesn't say lines or tracing. It's all art. Rick Parker letters, Neil Yamtov color. Ask me all I know. And there's your Jim Owsley editor and Jim Shooter editor in chief. So, man, Megatron's looking real bad.
He's starfishing.
He is. He looks. He looks very. Oh gosh. How do I put this? He looks like an ape.
Yeah. Why the
As
long
a,
face?
yeah, he does. He looks very. He looks very. What a way to put this. He looks like he's a hangout with the Dr. Zaius.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has that kind of like shape to the face, like it's humanesque. Well, humanish, but it's not quite. It's still got that longer snout on it. So yeah,
A
I don't know. It
planet
looks
where guns evolved from man?
and he has no elbows. It's just he has his arms like this.
Yeah.
There's no elbows at all.
He's got some Frankenstein vibes up there.
He totally does, but yeah, this is a terrible drawing of Megatron. And Shockwave is down below, all in red this time.
Yeah.
I like to think it's because he was like shadowed with a certain light, but it's the on top. I don't believe that. So he starts getting really. I don't know if he's trying to like bide his time or he's just being really sarcastic. Megatron's like, remind me to thank you when I get down from here, Shockwave. Meanwhile, a resumption of my command must begin now. And Shockwave's like, no, you messed up. All you did is because your leadership was faulty. And logic says I must assume command of the Decepticons. But so yeah, right now Megatron's giving Shockwave guff.
Yeah, well, Megatron automatically assumed that he's still in command.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the point here next is where I was talking about. He'll explain now how you permitted our position to deteriorate so drastically, Megatron. And he says, as commander, it is your right to demand anything of me. It is my privilege to oblige. It's almost like he's like, all right, look, by rights, I have to answer everything that happened. And they give a really quick summary of all the stuff that's happened, up to now.
Yeah, yet another summary.
Yeah, exactly.
They're making sure you know what happened.
Drawn really badly, too.
Yeah, the robots are all kind of generic.
Yeah, very generic. And there's like, it looks like the chromosome stuff, the double Y chromosome thing look.
Yeah.
That's what the robots look like flying in space towards the Ark.
Oh yeah, they got mitosis going on.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Yeah.
And then we're back almost to here, and then like Shockwave shoots everyone and he shows up. And this is maybe the first time I've seen mention of the Matrix.
This is the first mention of the creation matrix.
Yeah, by the great Matrix, I will see that human reduced to carbon ash for this treachery. Speaking of like of Sparkplug or what was his name?
Yeah, spark plug.
Well, Sparky. Anyways,
Yeah.
him changing the formula and poisoning them.
Yeah.
But so yeah, the first inch in the Matrix, that's kind of cool. Shockwave goes and rips someone apart, and I don't know who this is supposed to be.
That is Sight, sorry, Sunstreaker.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, look at the feet, and then you can tell by his head also.
Oh, I can kind of see that. Okay, yeah, he
Yeah.
rips Sunstreaker in half like long ways. Wow.
Yeah. And
I
then
can't
he
tell.
also rips into Megatron and tells him, petty vengeance on a barely intelligent creature has no place in our cause. Basically saying, this is what's wrong with you, man.
Yeah.
You want revenge on these little monkeys that live on this planet.
Yep.
And I mean, seriously, with all their tech and everything, they depended on a human to figure out, the fuel sources. So
Yeah, and honest. Well, then again,
they were.
Shockwave is—he's a scientist, though, also.
Oh yeah, I mean, but he's basically pointing out Megatron dropped the ball left and right
Yeah.
in the miniseries.
Yeah, I mean, really, was there? I know Starscream is technically a scientist, but I mean, were there any other scientists there for the Decepticons, or were they just there for conquest and war? Because Shockwave has the means to, do this, whereas none of them, I don't think, really did.
Yeah, but I
So.
mean, he just lays the hammer down with, and he's laying it out for his incompetence, his emotionalism, stealing energy facilities and not being able to utilize them,
Yep.
for being fooled by lower life forms. He's
Yeah.
like, he's laying out all the charges for him.
Yep.
So it's like Shockwave's a one robot court martial.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's it. I know coming up, because this thing is split in half, Shockwave just relentlessly taunts Megatron and shows him how bad he is at his job. So that'll be coming up.
Oh yeah, and well, the reason why he blasted Sunstreaker in half was just to show Megatron what would happen to him if he tries to buck against his rule.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. And
Yeah.
yeah, next issue is the last Autobot. And who is the last Autobot? They have a thing on the next page with Mirage, Ratchet. I guess it's supposed to be Sideswipe. I don't
Yeah,
know.
Sideswipe. Is
Optimus Prime, and
that Blue Streak?
it looks like Blue Streak, or yeah,
It
it
could
looks
be
like.
Prowl, but I'm thinking, I don't know. It's a
We'll see.
toss-up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Autobots are all dead, or are they?
Well, I mean, we've seen Sideswipe and Blue Streak in the meat locker, so
Yeah.
yeah.
We'll see what
I guess
happens.
the guessing games for Mirage, Ratchet, or
Ratchet.
Optimus.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And then we have more Matt and the Cat. But the font and everything has changed on Matt and the Cat. It's a lot bigger for one thing. They've given him more space.
Oh yeah.
It's,
It's
whatever.
got more panels. It's doubled their panels.
Oh, is that what's going on? That's why it's so much bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, it
I
used to be
thought
like
the
a
panels.
single strip. Now it's like a double
Are you
strip.
sure? 'Cause I thought it had a double strip before.
It had recently, but originally it was just like a
You're
single
right.
strip.
Yeah. But I think they improved the size of it, the spread in the page also. But yeah.
Yeah, it's like half a page now.
And so this starts off with the slave bots are they're trying to save Humph. And he's like he's got a whole heap of slave bots shooting and trying to save him because he was nice to what's the name of the one again?
Oleusim.
Oleusim, yeah. He's nice to him,
Yeah.
so they all save Humph. And
And they're shooting Polly's robot from Rocky 3. It's the Mizony.
yeah, yes, that's exactly what it is. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean it's whatever. It's quick at least. Now,
But I think this is the first time that Oleusim tells his name to Hump.
is he
Yeah,
as the?
because oh, did I mention my name is Oleusim?
Oh, okay. Oh, I see it. Yes,
Yeah, I think we were
talent.
told in narration before.
We were okay.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look and double check, but I think that's what it is. So this is the first time Hump is given his name.
And Humph thinks, poor kid, maybe his mother had a bad sense of humor. Okay.
Which that's got to be self-deprecating because Oleusim is Mike Kazebrood's first name backwards.
Yeah.
So I think he's making a joke about his own
I would
name.
hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, full disclosure, I did not read the Chronobots. I don't know how I missed this. I looked at it going, oh, wait, I don't think I wrote anything down about this. So I'm going to let you take over this one.
Yeah, I got you covered here. I'll give you
Less happened.
the short one. Basically, they're following Predator's pattern of vibration, and the Chromobots and Deadly discover Tessa Stone unconscious from a psionic attack.
Ah,
Okay, and
okay.
they're trying to get her to the hospital when the three robots and Deadly are teleported without Tessa into the future. And the sign where they appear is "Welcome to the 26th century," or that's just
Nice. What a
the lead
welcome.
in for the next issue.
Well, are they going to call Harry Kenyon to pick her up?
Right?
Dude, I swear, the artist for this, who is
It's Mike
Mike
Kazebrood again.
Casbert, yeah. He can draw women.
Yeah, it
So
definitely has a feel like heavy metal, I think.
it very much. He spent some time drawing her.
Where's the
Hair
Loch
thing.
Nahr?
Totally, man. after that, we go back of we go into the classifieds page, which I didn't notice before. I can go look at last issue, but there's an ad here for the Prisoner Official Appreciation Society. Six of one is what they call it. It's got a penny farthing and a PO box, so you could join six of one. It's kind of neat. But
So, I mean, is Iron Maiden like part of that fan club or something? Or, because you know,
the
they have a song
prisoner.
about the prisoner. Yep.
I don't know. I have to go back and look at the lyrics of the prisoner. I haven't listened to that in a long time.
It's based on the show.
Oh, is it? Oh, I definitely
Yeah.
gotta check it out now. Because I found out about the show in more recent years, but I heard that song years ago. So I'll definitely have to check that out now. So yeah, this is kind of cool. Comic shops and I guess fan club things or appreciation societies or whatever. That's kind of neat. Outer Limits. This thing for that. There, Odyssey 7. Of course, Doctor Who. Comic
Oh yeah.
stores, all that. So it's kind of neat. I've seen this old stuff.
It's
And
always cool to look up and see how many of these are still active.
yeah. I'm really curious about the prisoner one. But so yeah, we're here with the Machine Man, the living robot.
Old Machine Man.
Jolted by Jack-o'-lantern.
And this is an interesting because this is the first appearance of Jack-o'-lantern,
Yeah. Which I don't know
who's
much about Jack-o'-lantern, so and that you'll have to help me on
You
that one.
think you don't, but you actually do.
Really?
Because Jack-o'-lantern's real name is Jason Massendale Jr.,
Massendale Jr.
who is better known nowadays as the Hobgoblin.
Oh, okay. That would
This
actually make a lot of
is that
sense.
character's first appearance.
That make a lot of sense.
Yeah, he later takes on the guise of the Hobgoblin.
Okay.
But this
That's a
is where
pretty
he
good one.
started, right here. It's actually in Machine Man 19.
Interesting. Okay.
Originally, yeah.
Denny O'Neill editing, Jim Shooter, of course. Irving Forbush, soul and inspiration. That's interesting.
Oh yeah, they like to make jokes about Irving Forbush back then.
Jim Shooter, penny pinching paychecks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth with the digs again.
Yep. Fantastic. But that's just like almost like a it looks kind of like a cover of a comic, this page. Which is it's Machine Man going all full Dino-Mutt with Jack-O-Lantern, attacking him.
This shows right here that Neil Yamtov could do more than three colors.
He could if he wanted to.
This page actually looks good.
Yeah, it doesn't look
Yeah.
bad. I love we were greeted by the half-melted face of
Oh,
Machine
X
Man's human
51.
guise.
Oh, Aaron Stack.
Aaron Stack.
Yeah.
God. Was it like it's
He
Gil
looks like
Green.
Vina at the end of the cage.
Gears Garvin's like, holy spit, I ain't seen a mug like that ugly since my last blind date. At least your body wasn't made of metal. And he's
Means he
just
still
sitting.
went out with her.
Yeah. I
Oh,
was about to get to that point, but yeah.
yeah. It's
That
like,
was a that's
I
uh
laugh.
that's the Aaron Stack face pulled off of the Machine Man head. So I gotta ask something though, man. So Machine Man doesn't go around with Aaron Stack's face.
Right.
And X-51 has this complete robot head. This is the first time we've seen this robot head.
No, he had it once before.
Was
And in
it
fact,
really hard?
it was labeled X-41. Remember, we made a note of that.
Oh God. Yeah, well, I didn't pay near as much attention to the early X-51.
Yeah, this
So
time he's
go.
labeled X-51 on his forehead, though. But
Nice. Okay.
yeah, because we made a joke before that he looks kind of like Sleepwalker.
He does. It's
Yeah.
Oh God, it's terrible. Gears Carvin. He asks Gears to fix his face. I make any promises, but I may be able to help. Your facial structure is still intact, but you need a lot of cosmetic work, some fiberglass, a little putty. We'll
And put
put
some
a little
Bondo on it. We're gonna just suck the
tug
dents out.
on. Yeah. Peter is like, hey, I'll come walk around with you, Aaron. He's like, no, Peter, I would prefer to be alone with my thoughts.
He's going dark man again.
He's going full on dark man. Actually, no, I almost feel like he's more Rorschach right now.
Oh yeah.
I'll be
Well,
alone with my
you
thoughts.
think he'd get some backup faces or something. I mean, if he could do that, he could have multiple faces. He could be like the man of a thousand faces,
He
literally.
could
Just
be
go,
dark man.
yeah. Without the timer.
If he only had that technology. God, I need to watch that movie again. It's been so long. I love that movie. It's so
Oh yeah.
bonkers.
That's a fun one.
Oh, it is. A little old Sam Raimi. You can tell too if you watch, Evil Dead 2 and then actually Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, and then you go watch Dark Man, it makes so much sense. It's the same director.
Right.
With all the weird images and the focus in really quickly on something and the dreams, like kind of the madness dreams that that Dark Man has, like he hallucinates during the day about stuff, and it's almost like when Ash just goes kind of crazy and he starts seeing stuff, and
Yeah.
it's great.
Or
Anyways.
like the comic booky like rage face,
Yeah, he
like
does.
cutaways they do.
Yeah.
Almost like
So
Creep Show or something.
it is actually a lot like Creepshow. That's a good way to put
Yeah.
it. So yeah, they're X-51 is he's talking about he's extra scared because he's one of 50 experimental robots. And the others couldn't cope with their alienation and their hostile rejection by humanity, but they went mad and were destroyed. So he's worried he's going to go crazy, and that's kind of his whole thing. He's kind of saying like he was above that because he was He had no identity or anything like that, but he took on the name his the
His
programmer
creator.
Abel
Yeah.
Stack, Dr. Abel
Yeah,
Stack.
Abel Stack.
Yeah, he took on the name Aaron Stack. It's kind of a tribute to Abel Stack.
Well, see, he raised him like a human.
Yeah,
And that was the difference in the
that's
programming. The
right.
others weren't. They were raised like, lab creations.
Yeah,
And you know where else we see this story?
where's that?
The Boys. The whole thing, like,
Oh,
Homelander's a jerk because he was raised like a lab rat.
yeah,
And so,
that makes a lot of sense.
yeah, so his son, they wanted him to be raised by a mother in like a normal environment, try to
Yeah.
see if he'd be better adjusted.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same story. Machine
Yeah, I
Man
can
did
see
it first.
that.
They were that close to
That
having the
close.
boys right here. They were just right there.
So there's a bunch of like the dudes hanging out and talking about, capers and doing, basically there are other thugs hanging out in a gym.
Yeah.
And just talking about, was a Peckman, they're
It's Sha-na-na, man. Look at it. That's Sha-na-na.
yeah. And the jack-o'-lantern pops in. And yeah, I mean, cool. He pops in. He does a whole like the Joker from the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
He
Let
says,
me show you
"Hey,
a trick.
yeah." I love that scene still so much. You want to see a trick?
I'm
Yeah,
just looking
he.
at him. I can't help but think, this is what you get when you order Ghost Rider off of Tamu.
He looks so stupid, his face. Thank God he became Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he gasses all the thugs and stuff, and he basically tells them that he's he they're a bunch of mindless idiots, and he's gonna be the one to take over this town, be the main guy. Which,
And he's very cartoony and he's on like a pogo ball.
he is. Actually, oh yeah, that's what that is. Those things that you like he had it like the it was like
He's
a
even
ball.
bouncing.
Is he?
Yeah. Look where he gasses him. He's bouncing. It shows the little bounce lines.
He is on a pogo ball. Oh my God. I gotta find a picture of that for the audio video version of this.
Does anybody even remember pogo balls?
I dude. Okay, it was one funny thing. My mom at some point in the 80s, she was like going to some like exercise class or whatever, and they had them get pogo balls to like bounce in place while they exercise and stuff. And that didn't last very long. I love you, Mom, but it didn't last very long. And so we had a pogo ball around the house, and that thing was kind of fun. It could bounce. Yeah, I had no car. We had hardwood floors in the house growing up, and you could pretty much bounce across the entire house upstairs if you were careful and grab the handrail. You could pogo ball through the entire house. It was great.
Sounds like a great way to get a concussion.
I don't remember that.
Womp womp.
Yep. Next page goes into the Telltale contest.
Yes.
I want this transformer on the bottom. It's got a conglomeration of different transformers, and it's asking you to identify the different parts, like where
This
who
needs
it
to
come
be a
from.
Gen Selects toy right there.
Oh, 100%. So you got Optimus Prime's chest and his I guess left arm at least. It
Yeah.
looks like I wouldn't say that Sideswipe's hand on the
Yeah,
right.
that's Sideswipe's
This gun.
right arm.
Yeah, because this is gun. Megatron's scope cannon on his shoulder. Starscream's face. Well, at least Starscream or one of the jets face and
It's
Aaron takes.
Skywarp.
Was it Skywarp?
The
Okay.
stickers on the
Oh,
intakes
I see.
have
I see on
blew away.
the things on the over here on the side. Yeah, Skywarp.
Yeah.
Oh, good catch on the sticker. I didn't look over at the little cutout thing you could send in. And you have Soundwave's legs. I
Yeah,
think
well, one of
one of them.
Soundwave's legs and the other leg,
The other one is Starscream
that
because the sticker.
Starscream, yeah, the sticker. See, the stickers are the giveaway on
Yeah,
the,
you're right. You're right. Good catch on
yeah.
that. Okay. Yeah. So,
You draw them enough, some of that stuff
yeah,
sticks. Because
eventually.
Starscream has like three like target reticles in his
Okay.
intakes. Yeah.
You're right. I do know
And
those.
Thundercracker has triangles at the top where
So Skywarp has a
Skywarp
circle.
circles. Yeah, he has
Okay.
circles with the little
Yeah.
rectangles.
I do remember that now. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so back to Machine Man. This is
Yeah,
fantastic.
we don't win anything for all that work.
No. No, we don't deserve it. we go back to Machine Man, and Machine Man's gone back. X-51's gone back to the apartment, and Gears Garvin has done a pretty good job making a Ken head out of his melted face.
He looks like Jim Shooter.
Does he?
Yeah. I don't know if that was like an in joke or if they did that on purpose, but they made
Dude,
X-51's face look
that
like.
had to be an in joke. I
Yeah.
do not believe that was not an in joke. That's amazing. And he puts on the head and everything like that, and Peter's like, "You look wonderful." And Gears Garvin's like, "Yeah, I do good work."
You know, there's a lot of secret crushes in this story, and the unrequited love between Peter and X-51 is something we're always treated to.
Yeah, that's the most believievable one. We'll get
Well, you
into
know, Peter's
that.
lonely. He goes to like the Lonely Hearts ads like first thing in the
That's
morning.
right, he
So
does. Man, you can't tell me him and Gears didn't make a connection there while they're waiting on Aaron.
oh no, they're catty. They every
Yeah, they are.
you've got Mary Sue over here. Everybody wants to be with X-51. He's the Mary Sue.
What you know that you're never going to get that. They say, like, well, we're hanging out. We share interests in X-51.
Yeah.
Say, let's have a couple of
It
beers.
this
Let's
is
do
that's Betty and Veronica hanging out with Archie right there.
Gears is definitely Betty.
He
Yeah.
he's yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely Betty.
You even have a blonde and a brunette. I mean, so
It's awesome.
just slap some freckles on, you know, Aaron's face and you got
Yep.
it.
God. So old Aaron gets himself all dressed up again. He's got a suit on. He's got to go to work. He puts his glasses on. But
Yeah, he told him to be careful with the face. It's like not done yet. Like it's
yeah.
not cured, I guess. So
Which it comes up in a few minutes too.
yeah.
But
The
they go.
JB Weld's not quite finished.
The Bondo is not quite dry.
Yeah.
They go back to the Wall Street headquarters of the Del Mar Insurance Company. Yeah. And apparently they're having an emergency meeting. The boss is in there. Our boss, Byron Benjamin, wants us in a conference room for an emergency meeting. So they're all running there. I did notice one thing. So Machine Man doesn't have eyes when he has his mask on. There's no
Yeah.
pupil, rather. So does he wear sunglasses all the time?
Yeah, that's why he wears the glasses to hide it because he still has like his robot eyes. They're like red or robot. So, I mean, but they're not really even good wraparound. So like if you stood next to him, you're gonna say like, "Wow, you got some really jacked up eyes, dude."
It's like the Terminator. It's gonna be some bright lights.
Right? Yeah, at least Terminator had those gargoyles that wrapped around, you know. This is like yeah. He's got the grandma glasses from CVS.
Oh God, what was it? Oh, Eddie has basically lost money on gambling, so he gives Machine Man gives him a small loan and they all go into the office. Dude, Eddie's gotta stop gambling because he's bad at it.
Yeah, he's not very good at it at all.
They all go into the office and like Pam's like, Aaron, your face looks kind of swollen. So yeah, probably should let that thing cure a little longer. Anyways, so we have a nice little tidbit here too. They have Brock Jones in here as which is what's her face? Which whose sister his brother's that? Is that it's
Is that
not?
Maggie?
I think it's Maggie. No, is it? I don't know. Yeah, it
Yeah.
is Maggie because Pam's the other one. Okay, yeah. So Maggie's brother. Oh, it is
See,
Maggie
it's another
Jones.
blonde and brunette. See?
Yep, there you go. Maggie, that's right. I did see this actually. Maggie Jones, her brother is Brock Jones, who you will also know as shows up in other Marvel things. Oh my gosh, let me find it. Brock Jones. He wore the torpedo suit. He was in oh let's see. He was in several ish. Yeah. He was in Brock Jones. Let's see, Daredevil. and Rom Space Knight, Defenders. So yeah, he's been in a bunch of other things. This is one of those things where they love throwing, just like, hey, let's got this guy. We're gonna put him in these issues, like Alpha Flight.
I was gonna say, we had Alpha Flight, now we got Brock Jones. And you know,
Yeah.
it's funny that he's got one coworker named Eddie, and now he's got her brother named Brock.
Brock.
So you
I
got Eddie
know.
Brock.
As soon as I saw Brock Jones, I had to do this whole thing. Like, wait, did you just? Oh, no, it's not. Okay. That'd be great, Eddie Brock.
Right. Oh, yeah, this is way before Eddie Brock.
Yeah. There's this great panel, though, right below that, where they're talking about plans for the embassy party. They're the whole thing they're working with the insurance agency.
Yeah, they've got a super embassy that they're
Yeah.
designing
With a
or have
flag on top
designed.
and everything. And,
Th this is, I don't know, this is kind of out of the purview for a insurance company. Like they're making like maximum security super vaults for like celebrities and dignitaries.
one would
It's like,
think yes.
yeah. Aren't you supposed
So
to just like pay people when stuff gets broken?
yeah. So you have this little panel with Aaron. Well, sorry, X51. Let's say that. Pam, you affect my circuitry in weird and wonderful ways, but you need a man of flesh, not metal. And Pam's over there thinking, Aaron, can't you see that I love you? Anyways,
This is as bad as Crossroads.
it's so bad. I believe Gears Garvin and Peter could be more in love with this than this. Well, I actually Peter and is more in love with Aaron than this. Anyways.
Everyone's in love with Aaron.
Yeah, well, because he's the machine man.
Right?
And the boss is, hey, Aaron, please stay behind for a second. It's because just like the old Speed Racer cartoons, which I love this. You know, they'll say like Racer X shows up, and Racer X is actually Race's older brother Rex, who he thought was dead. And every time his boss wants to talk to him, he goes, "Mr. Benjamin knows that I'm secretly Machine Man." Yes, if anyone's been reading the issues at this point, they know that he knows you.
They do that for the noobs.
I guess
And
it's only 19
yeah,
issues in.
well, all the comics used to do this. It's like
Yeah.
every time Cannonball would turn on his powers, he'd have to mention that I'm invulnerable when I'm blasting, you know. You know, and Rogue's got to mention that if she touches you, she'll drain your powers and your
Yeah.
memories. And Wolverine is the best at what he does, bub. You know, they
Yes.
give you exposition for every time. It really, I think it wasn't until I'd say like the late 90s, early 2000s, they stopped doing that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
The and the, basically he's telling him he's telling Aaron about all these I guess security measures, defensive measures they've all set up for God, what is it? The Super Embassy. He's going more into the Super Embassy, like what things like the titanium doors that will drop in the
It looks
archway.
like a giant boombox.
It does.
Yeah.
Actually, this could be from Autobop.
Right? It's
It
Dance-O-Tron 2.
is. So they're going through all this stuff, but Machine Man, right at the end, he stops, he turns, he notices this guy, he's like, hold on. That man with the camera, he is Jeff Peckman, a notorious gangster.
Yeah, because you know the Peckmans that they. Big mob family, those Peckmans.
Huge mob family.
You, or I guess Magia. Because, you know, they didn't say, you know,
Yes.
the other M words in Marvel.
Oh, is that why they said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. I remember that
Well,
in the
there's
comics.
various rumors as to why. Like, I think that some of their financial backers were wise guys. That's one rumor. And there's different ones. They just didn't want to make them mad because they were in New York, you know.
Oh, I
So.
can see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons not to do it.
Yeah. And then that's it for this issue on that. Then we have the splash page of the wrongly labeled Decepticons and backwards foot prowl again with
And that creepy kid in the jacket
yep.
again.
And then we also have a deluxe full color editions of these I guess upcoming summer specials with
Yeah.
the 18 Masters of the Universe, Doctor Who, Star Wars Summer Special, Transformers, and Spider-Man with the black suit.
Yeah, and this summer special was advertised earlier.
Oh, was it? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's gonna, I think this is where like it basically reprints.
Okay, that makes
Yeah.
sense. Well, cool. And that's
So
it
if
for this
you missed the
issue.
mini series, you can pick it up in the summer
Yeah.
special.
That is it for this issue. Honestly, man, I knew the art in this issue was gonna be bad. This is one of the weirdest examples of cover art being top notch and the art
Yeah.
being one of the worst it's been.
And you know that's comics. Comics always do
Oh
that. I
yeah.
mean, even if you watch like videos with like Alex Ross, he's like, yeah, I'm mainly a cover artist,
Yeah.
you know,
Which
because they can't always get him to do Kingdom Come, you know.
Yeah, did you ever read any of the Earth X stuff?
Yeah, I was really disappointed with it because
Yeah.
I got all the promo stuff where he did all the characters, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be good. It's gonna be like Kingdom Come. And then the comic came out, and it's like, oh, he just did the covers.
Yep. I know. I collected the first few of them and I was like, nah, that's it. I
Yeah.
don't even want to read this anymore.
Because he did the Marvels,
Oh
and it was
yeah.
good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. And of course, Kingdom Come is one of the best drawn, I would say painted comics ever
Oh
made.
yeah, that's probably the best comic ever made, honestly.
Yeah. And so yeah, it's a lot like that.
I was
This
just telling my kids about Earth X like yesterday, even because we watched Deadpool and Wolverine, and then I was showing them some of the stuff about the Celestials. I was showing them the Atlantis Attacks annuals. And they went through and like the whole backstory about the Celestials like genetically engineering humanity. And then in Earth X, you know, they had the reveal that like Sabretooth and Wolverine were some of the proto humans that didn't get picked up by the Celestials, like they hid and they evolved on their own. And that's why, you know, they were so different than everybody else. Yeah.
I don't know, actually, I don't actually ever reading that, but it's neat.
Yeah. And
What are
that was the
the
first big crossover I got into when I started like
Yeah.
collecting comics that weren't Transformers. Because like throughout the 80s, it was just Transformers. I didn't care about anything else. And then I got into the Atlantis Attacks, and they took you through almost every Marvel comic. It was like a massive like story arc. And yeah, it was really interesting. It was really cool because it was, you know, you have Atlantis and Lemuria, but it went into the whole story of Set, you know, the snake god
Yeah.
and Serpent Society. They had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So
Interesting.
that's what got me into the rest of the Marvel comics.
I think that's the idea that you put on a good cover because that's what draws people in.
Oh
And
yeah.
it's so funny. This is such a drastic change. And you know, obviously this is the UK book. The art becomes much better as we go along. But you know, we're gonna have some growing pains for a bit.
Well, it's you know the whole I guess printing process for the US side was different than the UK side.
Yeah.
They had more limited colors, you know, the paper was different. So that doesn't translate well back over into the UK comics. I mean, there's a noticeable difference.
So I'm looking at this Stan Lee presents Obnoxio the Clown. There are a lot of colors in this, and this is a US, Stan Lee Presents. So there were limited colors, really, Yamta, because I'm seeing like four shades of green in this one picture.
Well, like I said, it's the paper that they do it on, like
Oh
what the
yeah.
Americans doing on newsprint. Yeah, when they did that, it really limited. Now, you know, I want to say like in the 90s is when they really started breaking away from the newsprint.
I don't know when this is. I'll look find out what when this was done. So this was. I'm looking at the picture of it. I'll put this in the video version. Script and art, letters and colors by Alan Kupperberg, Larry Hama editor, Jim Shooter editor in chief. Obnoxio the Clown created by Larry Hama, or Hama. We said
Hama.
Hama, 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 Hama. But yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of great coloring in this. It looks very much like, I don't know, the grit and the detail in this reminds me of Vertigo Comics. So, and it might be what's going on. Maybe it's like later on they were able to use more colors with this, but
Well,
it's
you know, there's different styles where they could play around with it, but they were still more limited than they were on the UK side with the just the sheer amount of colors.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
This is
But
actually just a really nice picture. So
yeah.
we'll see. But anyways, I am excited to get going with the American stuff. I'm so glad it's actually feels more like a Transformers comic rather than Transformers as an afterthought. So
Oh yeah. And I mean, we'll get into more of the UK stories that fit in between, and they really expand off of this and give
Okay.
it a lot more depth.
Nice. Good. That sounds fantastic. All
Good
right, then.
times.
Yeah, well, I will talk to you soon, my sir, my good sir, and we'll hopefully get this put out here very soon. Everyone, thanks for being here, and if you could drop us a little like, a little five-star review. We have limited reach, so anything that helps, anything that you can do helps a lot. So thanks for being here. Check out the Discord. Email us at more than meets these guys at gmail.com, and we'll see you next time. Y'all take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
'Cause Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.